The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
My next guest runs one of Ireland's best-known and most high-end restaurants. From his first premises off Baggot Street in Dublin, where he set up a shop in 1981, he was awarded a Michelin star in 1988, followed by a second star 15 years later, which made him the first Irish restaurateur ever to win two. In the early years, many people were horrified at the tiny size of his meal portions and the absence of potatoes from most of his dishes. But it didn't take long for him to earn the respect and affection of Irish people, many of whom have never actually set foot inside his restaurant. That restaurant is now located next to the Merrion Hotel, where he's been in situ since 1997. Patrick Gibo, you're very welcome. Before we chat about the journey which brought you to Ireland, since my first two guests this morning are called Patrick and the weekend that's in it, I have to ask you, is Patrick a common name in France?
It's common enough, yeah, especially people of my age. I'm from Brittany, so my mom was from Brittany, and I was born in Marsh, and Patrick's suited everybody, I think.
I'm sure they never imagined that you would end up living for decades in Ireland.
No, that's for sure, yeah. It was an accident waiting to happen, I think.
It was destiny.
Destiny, yeah.
In terms of your family background, Patrick, your dad had, I suppose, a very difficult, quite a sad life in many ways.
Oh, very sad life. He was a very unlucky man, or maybe, I don't know. So he was born in a Cognac, in a farm, and he had a brother. And the two of them, you know, the mom died very quickly when he was young enough. And then the dad became an alcoholic and died too. So the both of them were managing the farm. And then the war happened, and the German took the youngest of the two boys, in a working camp on the Poland, Germany frontier. What do you call it? Oh, is it frontier?
Yeah, on the border.
On the border, yeah. Sorry.
So that would have been very tough circumstances.
Yeah, well, it was. So because it was in the farm, the only thing he did was grow beetroot. So later on in his life, we never ate beetroot at home. No, beetroot was born from home, couldn't
he'd
have beetroot. I didn't even know beetroot existed until I was 21.
And your father, he actually found his own father dead.
Yeah, he had to bring his dad on the back of a horse, down to the hospital, which was about maybe 10 kilometers away from the farm. And by the time he arrived, he was dead.
Wow. And he obviously farmed and he had a tough time during the war, but he never learned to read or write.
No, exactly. Well, you know, Rambert, that was in the mid-30s and in France, it was quite common that people from the farming community didn't learn to read or write. They were working in the farm. I think in some way very similar than in Ireland.
Yeah, I think it would have been the case, in a lot of people in small farming communities. And he met your mother, and your mom actually taught him how to read and write.
Exactly, correct, yes.
What kind of woman was your mother? Formidable? Was she into cooking? Is that where your interest in food came
from? My mother's side of the family were in the restaurant business, were in the cooking business, if you like. And yes, she was formidable, all right. She was a tough lady. She knew what she wanted, and she always managed to get it. She had a very strong view of what life should be. She tried to impose her will, if you like, on us as children, you know.
It sounds like she was successful a lot of the time.
She was successful a lot of the time, yes. She didn't suffer full gladly. That's the position she take in life.
So she could be quite direct. And when it came to food, I mean, did she do a lot of cooking? Did she teach you a bit about cooking, or where did that come from?
Yes, she was the one really cooking at home, and we have to do some work every day because, you know, we were a family of had four sisters and myself, so we are five at home. With dad, which was really working in the factory in Paris when they came back from the war and left the farm. So we had chores every day to do. It's what we do.
Did she criticize your cooking at any stage?
I remember a story one day where I had to do a little soup. I must have been 10 years old. And she said to me, look, you do the soup today. You do something. So I did the soup. And I decided to do a mixed herb soup. So I peeled my potatoes, do my soup. And when we ate the soup, I was looking very anxiously at McMahon, and I said, you know, what do you think? I said, don't worry about it. I will speak to you later on about it. So we finished the soups, and she take me to the garden where a little, and she said to me, now, look, this is tarragon here, shrub is here, the thyme is here, the parsley is here. So I said, yes. So what's the point? I said, well, she said, well, she said, they don't live together. Why would you mix them together? And I said, well, okay, good point. So she always told me that a flavor is very important when you can decide. When you go and test something, you have to discover if it's tarragon, it's tarragon. If it's lamb, it's lamb. If it's a bit of fish. So you have to understand that all the product you put on the plate have to have a personality. Today is what I still do, you know, in some way. So that's a good lesson.
You can be creative about it, but there's still a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Absolutely correct, yes. You can't put pineapple with steak.
I'm just impressed that you were making a mixed herb soup at the age of 10.
Well,
as someone who can't cook myself.
Yeah, well, look, if you have potatoes and in some herbs and a bit of water, you can do anything.
Even I could do that.
Even you can do it, I'm sure.
And your parents separated, Patrick. You were a teenager when they separated.
I was separated in 67 or 68. So, yes, I was 16, 17.
And was that very upsetting for you? Was it difficult?
It was very difficult for the children. Only because we knew Mom was unhappy in some ways. Because she was, you know, I was before, she was a very difficult woman. And we knew she was quite unhappy. And obviously she said, I must have found somebody else in life. And she did. But yeah, one day she just disappeared. She arrived, we arrived home back from school, and Mom is not there. So we had that, where is Mom gone? And she said, oh, she's not well. She was a bit depressed, so she's gone to a clinic to get better. What hurt the family is the lie. The lie is that we didn't know, they lied to us, and it was very tough for us to accept the fact that they were not honest enough with us to tell us the truth straight away. And I think, you know, when you know the truth, you can deal with it. But when people lie to you, you don't know where you are, especially when you are a kid. So you have to always tell the truth to your children. You know, the truth is very important.
How did you feel that she was just gone and she didn't say goodbye?
Well, I felt betrayed. You know, I just felt that it was. And then you have the family who comes around and say, "Oh, don't worry," but we don't want to know that. We want your mom. You want to have your mom and your dad with you, and your people want to do the best for you and try to help. The only help you can get to give to anybody is to tell them the truth. Then they can deal with it and move on.
You trained as a chef. Well, actually, first of all, your mother had a restaurant. You started working in her restaurant.
A restaurant, exactly, in Luc-sur-Mer in Normandy.
And you progressed on then to work in a number of very fine restaurants.
Yeah,
you worked in Paris. You worked in the British Embassy in Paris.
In British Embassy in Paris under Christopher Soames. And then I went down to Germany for a while in Munich, and then in Berlin. And then from then, I moved to England. I moved back to England with the British Embassy. I gave me a job in the Midland Hotel in Manchester, I should say. And then from there, I met my wife, Sally, and we opened a restaurant in Ordelège. We had that for 76 to 81, 5 years.
And your connection with Ireland really started there, because the Irish builder-developer Barton Kilcoyne, he approached you. Was he a customer there?
He was a customer of the restaurant. Barton used to come to the restaurant. I was cooking. I didn't know him, but my wife said he knew him. And I was doing the books on the Sunday morning when the restaurant was closed. So I was spending the morning to do the book, paying the bills. And I was looking into this gentleman, Barton Kilcoyne, who just didn't pay the bill. So I said, this is not right. So he had the telephone number and everything. So I phoned him and I said, Mr. Kilcoyne, he said, yeah. I said, you owe us quite a bit of money. I would like you to pay me because we have a small business and things. Oh, he said, thank you. I'm so sorry. I thought my PA had paid you, but I'm busy next week. And I want to speak to you. And he came, gave me the check, and he said, by the way, I would love you to open a restaurant in Dublin. I think you'd be absolutely spot on. That was in 1979, I think it was at the time. So it took 2 years to convince me.
Ireland in the late 1970s or early 1980s was a pretty tough place to do business, particularly if you were opening, you know, quite a high-end restaurant. What was it like in the early years? Interest rates would have been very high.
Well, 24% we used to pay. But the borrowing for the restaurant, which was quite high. I think the restaurant cost me when we opened in 81, half a million euros. And we borrowed 300,000 of that at the balance, but we paid.
At one stage, you had unpaid bills. You had the sheriff knocking on the door.
Oh, many times, yes. We have the sheriff knocking on the door because we couldn't pay the bill, basically. And I was very lucky that I had a customer called Lachlan Quinn who came to the restaurant. And Lachlan said to me, if you have any problem, we like what you are doing here. If you have any problem, phone me.
And well, Lachlan Quinn and Martin Nocton
that's
were two
fact, yes, yeah.
very successful business people who had built up the Glendimplex Group. And they had they had been customers, wasn't it? They said, if you're, you know, if you need help on the business side of things, come and talk to us.
Absolutely. So what they did is that they bought the bank out, basically. They took the borrowing out, so it freed me completely. And that's why I become more successful. I could pay the staff better. I could get all kind of things like this going on.
And were they good for business advice as
Absolutely,
well?
Absolutely, yes. That was, you know, I always say that to Lachlan and Martin, and when I have a problem, go back to Lachlan and ask him the question. And Lachlan is very precise. He can see the problem straight away and say, no, do it like this.
It's one thing to build up a restaurant and have a very successful restaurant and have, what, two Michelin stars.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another to keep that going, to have that longevity. What do you attribute that to in terms of the success?
My team. The team, for me, is the most important thing in the world. You build a team around you and you look after them. And I believe if you do that, they will look after you.
But how do you keep them, Patrick? Because in that industry, surely people move around a lot.
Ah, they do, but you have to make sure you have to motivate them in some way that they have will to come in. When they get up in the morning, they come to the restaurant, they come to work, and they say, "Well, I want to do well." It's what I said to them all the time. You want to be the best, that's why you are here, because you want to be the best for yourself, you know, to try to do the best. Otherwise, you will not be working for me. So it's why you come to the restaurant to work for me, because you want to be the best at what you do.
And you don't open on a Sunday or a Monday?
We close Sunday and Monday, yeah. We have to give them a bit of a rest.
And what about the possibility of a third Michelin star? That's something you've said before that you really would like to have. I don't think any Irish restaurant has had it, have they?
No, nobody had ever. I was the first one to get two. I don't know if that's down to the Michelin to decide if I'm 71 now. At that, I will give it to me, maybe to my chef, to Guillaume and Stefan and Charlie. Maybe they might get it, but I think I'm maybe passé. Maybe I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm still very perplexed about how would I get my, because I always felt that I tried the best we could do to get 3 stars. And I didn't achieve it. So maybe I'm a bit short of it. Maybe I'm not talented enough. I don't know. We'll see.
Over the years, Patrick, the restaurant became so successful, but also so closely associated with a sort of celebrity or financial elite in Irish society. And I'm sure at times you must have had to have shown a lot of discretion about very well-known people and what they might have got up to or they might not have got up to or who they were having lunch with, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Next. I'm not speaking about my customer. It's for them to decide if they want to be named or not. They come, they pay, and they enjoy themselves. If they want to be, they want to tell everybody, the rest of the world, that they came to Guilbault, they can say that. But I'm not at the liberty to say that. I can't do that.
So you are the model of complete discretion. You don't care who they are. As long as they come and they pay, you don't want to know anything else.
As long as they come, they enjoy themselves, have good food, and they pay, they can do whatever they like.
What about retiring? What's on your bucket list to do after all those years of working in restaurants and in your own restaurant? What would you like to do?
I want to enjoy what I've got. My beautiful wife, my children, my grandchildren, I want to enjoy them. That's all I want to do. Enjoy life. And go and see what's going on in the world. Travel a little bit. I don't especially. I think we are very lucky to be born in Europe. You know, we don't need to go to Asia and all these places, the rest of the world. You know, we have everything in the pocket. France is fantastic. Spain is beautiful. Italy is amazing. You know, Ireland is stunning if you go to the west coast of Ireland, as you know. I mean, why travel so far? We don't need anything else.
Well, Patrick Guibeau, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Patrick Guibeau of Guibeau's Restaurant, thank you for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.